Good to see everyone that's joined with us tonight, and we'll open up our Bibles together, please, in Mark's Gospel this evening, Mark's Gospel and chapter number 7, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, so towards the beginning there of your New Testament, Mark's Gospel, chapter number 7, and we want to read from verse 24 tonight. The first hymn I chose tonight and the second hymn John chose, but both of those hymns have something in common. They both have a little word whosoever as part of their refrain, whosoever and whoever. That was the theme of the songs, that the Lord Jesus Christ is willing to receive anybody who wants to come. Maybe not everybody, because everybody won't come, but he will receive anybody who will come. And that, of course, is very much our message tonight, that the Saviour is someone who, he's not bound by the prejudices that we are bound by. He doesn't put folks into compartments the way we put them into compartments. And he's able to save folks that we maybe think, well, they just wouldn't be saved, or they're just the kind of person that couldn't be saved. Well, the Saviour just loves to save them. In fact, that second hymn, I was just thinking, you know, the second hymn that we were singing there, it's one that we used to sing a lot in the open air back in Kitmere Hill. I think I've said that before, you know, and I was thinking about some of the folks that used to stand in the open air and sing that whosoever second hymn, you know. I was there, and my father, he was an engineer, and he was saved one night on the way to the dancing, and the man standing next to us, well, he was a local ice cream man, and then there was a chap that cleaned the toilets. And then there was another young chap called Reggie. He was saved. He was a hell's angel before he was saved. He was a biker. And there was a right mix match of folks as we used to stand in the open air in Kitmere Hill and sing whosoever. But it was true enough. And we were proof of that. A real cross-section of society. And here in Mark chapter 7, the Lord Jesus Christ touches the life of a woman that you really wouldn't expect to be touched. But nonetheless, the Saviour is able to reach out and speak to this dear lady. So I want to read then in Mark chapter 7, and we'll read from verse number 24. And from thence he arose, and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. And just a wee verse in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 15, it's the same event that Matthew describes in Matthew chapter 15. Verse 28, Matthew adds just a little bit there of the words of the Lord Jesus that Mark misses out. Matthew 15, verse 28 says, Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And we want to look to the Lord for his help as we think about these verses together tonight. We want to look at the experience then of this lady. She was a Gentile lady, that is, she was a lady who wasn't a Jew. She was like you and me. She wasn't a Jew, she was a Gentile. And she was from this area of Syro-Phoenicia. She was a Syro-Phoenician, a big word, but basically she wasn't a Jew. And I want to share three very simple thoughts with you about the experience of this lady here in Mark chapter 7. Verses 24 to 30. The first thing I want to think about is the Lord Jesus, and something very important is told to us about the Lord Jesus there in verse 24. And there we read that the Lord Jesus couldn't be hid. And we want to think about a Saviour. A Saviour who was so important, a saviour whose life had such an impact on the folks round about him that we could say that he was a saviour who could not be hid. And we want to think about that, about the Lord Jesus, and about the way that he touched lives, and about the way that that message of the Lord Jesus Christ spread in those days in Mark's Gospel. And then I want to think about this dear lady, and we'll see in a wee minute or two that she was the kind of woman that folks generally didn't have much time for. And there were various things that came about that would really have put her off, things that would have discouraged her. She had in her mind that day, as she went out, that she would meet the Lord Jesus. She had that in her mind. But there were a number of things that would really have discouraged her, a number of things that would have kept her away from the Lord Jesus. But we want to see that she was persistent. And we want to say this, that if you want to be saved, or if you want to grow as a Christian, or if you want to go on for the Lord Jesus Christ, not only have you got to have a desire, but you have to be persistent. You're going to have to overcome the obstacles, and people will put plenty of obstacles in your way. They'll criticise you, they'll look down their nose at you, as they did with this dear lady. They'll try and put you off, but the real mark of the genuine, the real proof of a person who's been touched by the Spirit of God, the real proof of a person who the Spirit of God is working with, is that they are persistent. They continue. They keep on going. They don't just give up. They don't just shrug their shoulders and say, well, I'm going in the huff. Or they don't just shrug their shoulders and say, well, oh, such and such said to me and so on, and nobody likes me, and, they keep on going. They keep on going. And there are little things that come in their life that would maybe put them off, but they're serious about finding Christ, and they're serious about salvation, and they know that they really need the Saviour. They know that their only hope is to be found in Christ, and so they keep on going. They keep on going. And so we'll think about a Saviour, and, well, try as they might, that they couldn't hide him. And then we'll think about a woman, and try as they might, they couldn't put her off, and that was good. And she kept on going until she got the Saviour, you know. And then thirdly, we'll think about her request. And it was a request she made of the Lord Jesus. And it was a request that the Lord Jesus just could not refuse. He had to grant it to her. Just the way she went about it, you see. The seriousness that was there, the genuineness of her question, and the faith that backed it up. And that was the kind of request that the Lord Jesus Christ just delighted to grant. So three very simple things. A Saviour who couldn't be hid. And a woman who couldn't be put off, and a request that the Lord Jesus Christ just could not refuse. So look down there, would you please, at verse number 24. Verse 24. And from thence it says, he arose, and he went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered into a house, and he would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. He could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. It's a strange thing, you know, but as you read through the Gospels, it seems to me that quite often, folks, or even the Lord Jesus Christ himself, tries to keep things quiet. But no matter how hard they try and keep things quiet, it always seems that the news of the Lord Jesus Christ spreads. That's a strange thing, isn't it? They try and keep things quiet about the Lord Jesus, but no matter how hard they try and keep it quiet, the news always leaks out, it always spreads. Seems to me, you know, to be very different than from the day that I live in, because we're the opposite today, aren't we? We try our very best, or we would love to see the news spreading, and yet sometimes we think no matter how hard we try and spread the news, it seems to keep quiet and nobody seems terribly interested. But the days were different then, back in Mark's Gospel. And they might try and keep things quiet, but the news spread. And maybe I could just say a little word first to the Christians amongst us. I know this is our Gospel meeting, and really our big concern tonight is to speak to folks that are searching for the Lord Jesus Christ, just like this woman was. She was searching for the Lord Jesus Christ. But maybe I could just share a word with Christians, people who have found the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe we could just notice this first, right at the beginning of this section here in Mark chapter 7. We could notice just how it was that this woman came to find the Lord Jesus Christ. It was very interesting. She was one of these people that didn't find the Lord Jesus Christ by going to a temple, or by going to a synagogue, or by going to a church building. or a gospel hall, maybe in modern days. She was a lady, and you know, she found the Lord Jesus Christ by going along to somebody's home. She went to somebody's home. I thought that was interesting, you know.
Hmm.
You know, in the early days, that's how many people found the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, if you were to turn to the book known as the Acts of the Apostles, in chapter number 2, maybe we would want to do that. Why don't we just do that just now? Acts chapter 2. Looking at the early days of the beginnings of the Christian message, the beginning of the preaching of the gospel. In Acts chapter 2, and verse 46 is this, about the early Christians. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favour with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And over in Acts 20 and verse 20 we read something very similar. I'll just read the verse to you. You don't need to turn to it, but Acts 20 and verse 20 says this. And how I, speaking about the preaching of the Apostle Paul, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. That was interesting, wasn't it? That this lady that we're reading about tonight, she didn't come along to a meeting like we've come along to. She went to somebody's house. And I thought it was encouraging for us as Christians just to see that how by coming to a person's house, she found the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought that was good, you know. I thought that was good. That there was a house there, and the Saviour was in that house, and here was a lady, and she came to the house, and she found the Saviour. And that's the way, you know, the Word of God spread there at the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles. Christians, they met from house to house, and they opened up their homes, and folks came in, and they heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they shared maybe a time of hospitality, but above and beyond all of that, they learned and they heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. It would be good, wouldn't it, it's good to see this half of the hall fairly full on a Sunday night. I remember when we started the gospel meetings again, they had been off for a number of years, and some of those evenings that we had on a Sunday night, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, there was only half a dozen folk here, and that was it. There was just about 6 of us some Sunday evenings. So it's good to see that half of the hall filled now. But we've got a wee bit of work to do to fill the other half of the hall. We're not going to do that by me shouting at people. And that kind of work isn't going to be done on the platform. That kind of work is going to be done in our homes, isn't it? It's going to be done by us showing some kindness to folks. It's going to be done by folks in the village, Christians in the village, reaching out and touching other lives. Little works of kindness, maybe through our occupation. Little invitations to hospitality. It's going to be done by homes being opened, just like this home here was opened, and folks being invited in. It's good to have our friends in our home. We call that fellowship. But this woman, well, she was a stranger. She wasn't really a friend. It's good to have our friends in, but maybe it's good too to have folks that we wouldn't normally have in our homes. That's not fellowship, that's evangelism. And that's what happened here in Mark chapter 7. There was a woman, and she had the Lord Jesus Christ in her home, and she allowed somebody else into her home that wouldn't normally have been there. In fact, normally she would have been kept out of that home, in fact. And normally she would have been looked down her nose upon, but the home was opened up. And through the kindness and through the warmth of this lady that owned the house, here was a woman, and she came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, ever before anybody usually comes to a hall to hear the gospel, usually there's a contact there, isn't there? There's a contact with a Christian or with a family. Somebody that's shown just a little bit of interest in a person, a wee bit of kindness, maybe a bit of visitation, maybe a bit of hospitality. And through that bit of kindness, the first contact is made, and somebody's life is touched. I remember a friend of mine telling me about a young man in his assembly, and he started doing that kind of a work, you know. And there was a lady that he used to visit, an elderly lady, and she lived in one of these high flats, and she found it difficult to get out and to do her shopping and the ordinary everyday things. And he would come in, he was just a young man in his teens, and he would go and do her messages and bring her stuff and show her a little bit of kindness. My friend was telling me the comment of that old lady. She said, you know, she says it's nice to have that boy She says, just coming in and doing these wee things for me. She says, do you know, when he comes into the house, she says, and he does these wee things, she says, I just see something of Jesus in his eyes. I thought that was nice, wasn't it? He was making that first contact, that little bit of kindness, and that was what was happening there in Mark chapter 7. So I thought that was good, you know, that this lady, this Syrophoenician woman, this Gentile woman, and here's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's in the house, and that house is opened up to her, and through that kindness, through that hospitality, she comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He could not be hid. He could not be hid. Folks heard about him, and they came to hear the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this woman, she's called the Syrophoenician woman, and, well, that's a big long name, but really what it means is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ, in Mark chapter 7, he was preaching, he was speaking. And in Mark chapter 7, he was really preaching and speaking to folks that we would call Jews, Jewish people. His message in those days was primarily for the Jews. And here's a woman, and she's not a Jew. She's a kind of woman that the Jews would look down their nose at, the kind of woman that folks really wouldn't have any time for. And yet she knows that she needs to find the Lord Jesus Christ. She's the kind of woman, in fact, that a Jew wouldn't really have in her home. They would be frightened that they might get contaminated. They were frightened that she might be a bit dirty, you know, and they would look down her nose at her. But here she was, and she was coming to the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus was busy preaching to the Jews, but she was going to come. And so you could maybe say that she was coming at the wrong time, at the wrong time. And you could maybe say, too, that she was the wrong kind of person. But nonetheless, this lady comes. She comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when she comes, verse number 26, it tells us why she came to the Lord Jesus. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician, and she besought him, the Lord Jesus, that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. So she comes with this need. She knows that this daughter of hers, she's got a problem only the Lord Jesus Christ can deal with. This daughter of hers is held in power by the devil. It's a case of demonic possession. And she knows that only the Lord Jesus Christ can deal with that. Maybe we haven't seen much of demonic possession in our own day, but nonetheless, it was there in those days, and she's able to bring that problem to the Lord Jesus. I notice, you know, the Lord Jesus responds to this lady, verse 27. And Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. I wonder what your response would have been had the Lord Jesus said that to you. There you are, you're coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've got a need in your life. Some big problem, and you know that only the Lord Jesus Christ could help you. The Lord Jesus is busy dealing with other people. And he says this to you, let the children first be filled. That is the other people, the people that I'm dealing with, the Jews. For it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. The dogs. Now you see, that's maybe just a little bit hard, isn't it? I know some of us here like dogs. I didn't used to like dogs, but they're kind of growing on me, you know. But the Lord Jesus is almost saying there, isn't he? You know, you're just like the dog, and these are the children, and almost as if these other people are more important than you. You see, that's a strange thing for him to say. Almost a hard thing. What's the Lord Jesus Christ doing? Is he trying to put her off? Well, I'll tell you what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing. The Lord Jesus Christ is testing her, isn't he? He's testing her. What the Lord Jesus Christ is doing is this. He's trying to see just how keen she is. Just how sincere she is. You see, she's overcome all of these other things that have been in her way to come to Christ. She's overcome the prejudice. And here she is, she's a Greek woman amongst the Jews. And she's come to the Lord Jesus and she wants to ask him something. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he puts a little obstacle in her way. The Lord Jesus wants to see if she's prepared to get over that obstacle to come to him. How sincere is she? How real is she? Is she just another casual inquirer? Is she just coming out of curiosity? Or is there really something in that woman's heart that is really crying out for Christ? Is there really something happening in that woman's life that really would make her overcome all of the things that would put her off just so that she could come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, that's the mark of the genuine. That's the mark of the real thing. Someone that continues. Someone that perseveres. Someone that isn't put off. Earlier on in Mark's Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about the preaching of the Gospel, and he said it was a bit like a sower going out to sow seed. And he spoke about that Gospel message going out, and the seed was thrown and it kind of fell on different kinds of ground, you know. There was one kind of ground, and, well, it just seemed that the seed didn't have any effect at all, because the wee birds came and they took the seed away, and it just didn't have any response at all. But then there was another kind of ground, and, you know, it seemed at the beginning, as the seed fell into that ground, that everything was going well, and the seed, it began to grow. And if you looked at that ground, and you looked at that seed, and you looked at the shoots, you would say, well, we're going to have a fine crop there. But there wasn't much depth of earth there. And when the sun came out, the plants all withered, and they got burned, they got scorched. And then there was another wee bit of ground, and the seed fell in it. And again, if you were to look at the seed, and you were to look at the plants, and you would say it was doing well, but then the weeds would come up, the problems, the difficulties round about would come up, and it never really continued either. It got choked and died a death. Only one out of the four kinds of ground was real. Only one out of the four people that heard the Gospel, if you like, was genuine. The one that continued and kept growing and produced the fruit, and says Mark, some 30-fold and some 60 and some 100. And the real proof of the genuine is the one that goes on and continues and perseveres. You see, this woman, this Syrophoenician woman, she could have found lots of reasons to get put off. She could have found lots of reasons just to go away and give up. But she continued. She continued. And the Lord Jesus Christ says to her, well, let the children first be filled, for it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. I think this woman must have had a dog, you know, for the kind of answer that she gives. And she answered, and she said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. I think she must have had a dog to know that, eh? I read that and I've often understood it, but when we got a dog, I really saw how that works. You know, we've got four boys, as you know, Sam, Joe, Luke and Tom, and they make an increasing mess at the table in that order. Sam's the oldest, he makes the least mess, and then it's Joe, he makes a little bit more mess, and then there's Luke, he makes more mess still, but the one that makes the most mess is Tom, and half, if not three quarters of his dinner ends up on the floor. And the dog, well, the dog only sits underneath one chair at that table. The dog sits underneath Tom's chair. In fact, if we get a visitor, it still sits underneath Tom's chair because it expects the visitor to drop as much food. And it sits there and it waits for those things to fall. And Tom doesn't get a second chance when it does fall, let me tell you. It's gone, disappears. And so the woman, she's not going to be put off. She's not going to be put off by the answer of the Lord Jesus, and she's got a good answer in reply. And she says, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. Lord, I'm not looking for a big thing. I know what you're capable of. I know something of the works that you are able to do. I appreciate something of who you are. I know that you are the Son of God. And I know that you are the one that holds this world together, that made this world. I know that you are the kind of God who's able to calm the storms, who's able to heal the lepers. But listen, Lord, all I'm looking for is just a wee crumb, just a wee crumb. Surely you can spare, I'm not looking for a three-course meal there. You can give that to the children. But I would just be content with just a little tiny crumb from your hands, for I know that that would satisfy. And I'll wait for it till I get it. She's got a big view of the Lord Jesus Christ, hasn't she? She knows something about the power of the Lord Jesus. And she's got something else. She's got humility. She's willing just to take her place there before the Lord. She hasn't brought anything to offer. She's not going to try and offer him some money to bribe him. Folks later on in the Bible tried to bribe, you know, their way into God's favour, but she's not going to do that. She's just going to come and she's just going to take that humble place, and she's really just saying, listen, Lord, there's nothing that I can give you. If I'm going to experience something of your power in my life, all I can do is ask for it. Would you not just do it for me? And here's a woman, you know, and not only could she not be put off, but here's a request, a question that the Lord Jesus couldn't refuse. You see, the Saviour offers us salvation. I'm not expecting you to come tonight to look for demons to be cast out. That's not really the big issue today, demons being cast out. But the Lord Jesus Christ offers us salvation. And there are two things that the Lord Jesus Christ requires before you will get that salvation. The first is humility. The fact that you know that you need that salvation. And the second is that you ask for it. That you ask for it in faith. And this dear lady is marked by both of those. She comes before the Lord Jesus. And she knows that she needs the Saviour. She comes in humility. And she asks in faith. She believes that the Saviour is able to help her. The Saviour is able to deal with the problems in her life. She puts her trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. All of her hope, she places it in the person of the Lord Jesus. And because of that, the Saviour is willing. He's willing to save her. Sometimes, you know, you get asked the question, how is it? How is it that I get saved? How can I be saved? And sometimes it seems a very difficult thing to just to be able to grasp it. We know what the Lord Jesus Christ did. We know in our head that he is the Son of God. We know that right the way through the Bible that the prophets would speak of one who would come and he would be God. He would be Emmanuel, God with us. And we know what happened at Calvary. We know that the Son of God died on the cross for our sins. We know that God did a remarkable work when the Saviour died. We know that he took our sins and he put them on the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ suffered for those sins. He paid the price. But we sometimes wonder, well, how can I get saved? Two things the Lord requires. He requires that we come in humility. That is, that we know that we need him. And he requires that we ask in faith. We simply ask him for it. And we believe that he is able to save us. And he's promised that he will. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Except you come as a little child, ye cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And this lady, she receives the blessing that the Lord Jesus Christ has for her. And she receives it because she comes in humility. And she puts her faith in the Lord Jesus. I can only encourage you to do that tonight. We've spoken before of our need of Christ. We know that each of us have sinned. We know that each of us are mortal individuals, that our life is very uncertain and that certainly one day will end in death. We know that the Word of God is absolutely emphatic about it, that it is appointed unto man once to die and after this the judgment. We know that an eternity without Christ is a frightening thing. And we need a Saviour. And we know what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us at Calvary. He's paid the price. He's taken away our sin. And we are able to have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. If we'll only come and we'll ask and we'll put our faith in him. Shall we pray? Our Father, we come before thee. We do give thee thanks for thy word. We thank thee for this dear lady who came just in meekness and humility. We thank thee, our Father, for a woman who knew her need and came to the Saviour who could meet that need. We ask, our Father, tonight that thou would speak to each of our hearts. We thank thee for the encouragement of a Saviour who is greater than our problems. And we ask tonight that if there is anyone here that as yet has not put their trust in the Lord Jesus, that tonight that they would accept the Saviour
as their own. So be with us, our Father. Bless the words of Scripture that we've read. Encourage our hearts, we pray. For we ask it in Jesus' name.